And welcome to Too Many RPGs, normally a show about RPG shows. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ethan. Today we're listening to a convention panel that Lauren and expert emeritus Kiana were on. It's on a topic that is incredibly important to the tabletop RPG community, so they thought we should try to share it as many people as possible.
Yeah, so the first weekend in June, Kiana and I did a panel called Beyond the X Card about using safety tools in tabletop RPGs at Forest City Comic Con in London, Ontario. That was my local convention where I actually started playing tabletop role-playing games, not for the first time, but after a very, very long hiatus. And as I've been involved in the community, it's been really exciting to see it grow and move towards safety tools. I am not able to be as involved as I used to be, so I haven't been there to kind of start the conversations. But when I came back a couple years ago for an event, it was really cool to just all of a sudden see somebody put an X card on our table for us to use. And then the next year at the convention, they had a sheet on all of the gaming tables with an X card and also explaining the open door policy. And I got really excited because I am a nerd and I am really passionate and excited about safety and support tools in tabletop gaming. And so this year, I called Kiana, who is also very passionate about safety tools and spreading them among the community, about doing a panel for this community that I started in that had just started to use safety tools and weren't using very many. And from the chatter I heard in the past couple years, people didn't really understand what it was for or how to use them effectively. And so what I wanted to do with this panel was introduce them to more safety tools, because one of the important things about safety tools is that there's no one tool that works for everybody. So just giving people more options and also talking about something that we don't really talk about a lot, or we're starting to talk about more in the discussion of safety tools, is how to foster an environment and a sense of comfort at the table so that people feel like they are able to use safety tools at all. Because sometimes, especially in convention situations, there may be a situation where somebody is uncomfortable but feels like playing an X card or using a safety tool would make things worse, and we wanted to avoid that. And so that's kind of what we focused the panel on. And in conjunction with this, we released the Tabletop RPG Safety Toolkit. That's been going around Twitter, so if you're on Twitter, you might have seen that.
You can find it at bit.ly/TTRPG Safety Toolkit.
Yes. And that includes a revamped version of what Kiana had released as the Tabletop RPG Streaming Safety Toolkit Quick Reference Guide, I think is what it was called. But this time it was not just focused on streaming, it was focused on all tabletop experiences, as well as some X, N, and O cards. And just, we are trying to compile as many safety tools as we can into one place. You know, because the quick reference guide can only be so many pages, we wanted to throw in some of the safety tools that maybe didn't get into the quick reference guide, but were still important. We just wanted to have a centralized place because there aren't a lot of centralized spaces for things like safety tools in the gaming community yet. So we just wanted to just have a place where you could find everything all in one place. So without further ado, here is Beyond the X Card.
Hello, welcome to Beyond the X Card, an exploration of safety tools in tabletop role-playing games. My name is Lauren Bryant Monk.
And I'm Kiana Shaw.
Yeah, we are both tabletop RPG streamers and game designers, and scholars, I guess.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time playing games and thinking about them and researching them and looking at how to make the space a better place for everybody. yeah, still we have a big expertise in safety tools. We help to advocate for them both offline and online play and making sure that people are having fun.
Yeah. So as this came up while, as we were waiting about, you know, what exactly are safety tools? You know, are they, you know, the safety goggles you wear while you're rolling your dice in case they, you know, get in your eye? That's not what they are.
I hope that you're not rolling your dice that hard.
Although you got to be careful with those metal dice because they are sharp.
They are sharp.
from the quick reference guide, essentially sometimes games will have content or situations where a player at the table feels, you know, stressed out, unsafe, or something, subject matter has come up that makes them feel uncomfortable or just lessens their ability to have fun. And safety tools are a way for players and GMs to communicate with each other before, during, and after the game to make sure that everyone is feeling safe, everyone is having fun, and if somebody needs support, there are the tools to have support.
Yeah.
There. Sometimes safety tools will be called support tools because it kind of goes beyond just emotional safety, because sometimes there's content that isn't emotionally triggering, like, but it just might make you really, really sad. And if you're having a bad day to begin with, if something really sad happens in the game, that can have a really bad effect on you. And so the tools are there to kind of help support you through that and figure out exactly what you need to be able to have a good time.
Yeah. And the idea is that these are not meant to censor games. There's a lot of misinterpretation.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we can't have any of these, like, violence or whatever else. It's like, no, it's saying, here are the boundaries of the people at the table, and we're going to respect them and make sure that no matter what's happening to the characters, you as the player outside the game are still having fun and are still engaging with the content and still be like, yes, I'm enjoying playing this game, because why play a game if you're not having fun or having some form of satisfaction out of the experience?
Yeah, Kiana brought a really good point of the term boundaries, and that's what safety tools is just, or support tools, it's just a fancy word for the boundaries that you set at the table with your players. In the same way that, you know, we have personal boundaries that maybe you just don't go up and hug a stranger when you meet them for the first time because you don't know if they're comfortable. You say, you know, hey, can I shake your hand? Or hey, do you like hugs? And then the person will respond. That is a kind of physical, social support tool to figure out how comfortable people are with personal contact before you kind of, you know, just go and hug people without their consent.
And we see boundaries set in content all the time with ratings on games or on movies. You know what you're going into on a kind of expectation of like, okay, PG-13. I know that there's not going to be incredibly gory violence, and if that's something that I'm not into, cool. I know PG-13 safe, and maybe an R rating not so much. Yeah, so it's kind of just a way of establishing or formalizing communication and formalizing, yes, this is a place that we can easily discuss and talk and make sure that everyone understands and respects our personal...
Thank you. So yeah, the biggest question is, you talked about why are we using safety tools? And it's because the people who are playing the game are more important than the game itself.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Because so when we're talking about these tabletop role-playing games, often they're very long sweeping narratives. A game like D&D, you will often have a DM who has spent hours probably crafting, you know, this story. And sometimes, and players who spend hours creating these characters that are really important to them and have arcs that they want to take them on. And sometimes the story can get away from the players, and things that will happen that are important or make sense for the characters or for the story might make the players feel uncomfortable, and that's not okay. And so safety tools are a way of saying, okay, we can tell a really good story, but we have to all be on board with this story, and we're not allowed to make anybody uncomfortable for the sake of the story. Because without the players, there's no game.
Yeah, and people are people, and you want to respect people. You're not going to, you have to say, yeah, we have the story, but the people, again, make the game. There's people that are part of it, and they're probably the most important element, because if you're just a DM or a game master with a game and no players, you're just an author.
You're just writing a book.
You're just writing a book at that point. So there's that whole element.
And so even if in a situation you don't need to use a safety tool, and a lot of the times, you know, like any kind of safety tool, you know, like a life jacket or you know, safety goggles in carpentry, you hope we don't need to use them, but they're there just in case. And so by even making them available and talking about the fact that they are available, it signals to your players that you care about them more than you care about your story, more than you care about the game, and you care about their safety as people.
I mean, it's one of those things of, like, think of it like a circus act and like a trapeze act. You always have the safety net there. You hope to God you'll never have to use it, but, like, and hope that everything plays off, like, you'll have those thrills and everything. But in case something happens, I'd rather the safety net be there than not and have to clean up the mess afterwards. So that's kind of what this is. And so having that discussion about whether you need safety tools at the table is actually a form of safety communication. Mm-hmm. It's a way of saying, yes, we all are on board and okay with not having to use these formalized tools. And that's totally fine. Because sometimes you're very comfortable with your group, and that's not something that you feel like you need, but having that discussion is probably the most important.
Yeah.
It's the most important idea of, like, I care about you. I want to make sure that you're fine throughout this game. We have an open communication, and that's great. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be fine.
And it's also very important for situations like today, if you've been upstairs to the gaming lounge, a lot of times you're playing D&D it's all D&D up there this year, but you're playing D&D with maybe people you've never met before, and you don't know what they're like. You don't know if they had a really bad day yesterday, or, you know,
or if they have a personal boundary.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea, and so these can help establish those, get them out onto the table, and you can address them appropriately.
Yeah, because everybody has different backgrounds and different cultures about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And for the most part, you know, it's all okay, but we're creating in outside life, but at the table, we're creating this social contract. And so what may seem like common sense to you might be totally not common sense to somebody else.
Yeah. So that idea of common sense is not universal. And so by having tools or having that the process of communication helps to make sure that everyone's on the same table, on the same page. So that way we don't have instances of miscommunication or instances of accidental crossing of boundaries that you had no idea was a boundary, but now you crossed it and now you have to deal with the fallout versus, you know, preventing it in the first place.
Besides people thinking that safety tools are like censorship tools, which we've already explained that they aren't, the other thing that I will often hear is that, oh, I've been playing with this group for years. I know them really well. I don't need to use a safety tool at this table. But what's really interesting about playing with people for so long is that you develop that sense of trust, and so you're more willing to push boundaries with story and explore content that might be uncomfortable. Because you trust them, because you know them, because you feel safe with them. And so having that extra layer of control over, okay, maybe this is too much for me, or I need to step back, is really even more important when you're playing with your friends than when you're playing with total strangers, because the content that you're gonna explore with total strangers, for example, romantic content, if you're coming to a table where you've never met anybody before, you know, you might not decide to start flirting with another player character. But if you're playing with, you know, your friends that you've known for years, then you think, okay, maybe if our characters fall in love, that would be a really good story. And that introduces a whole new level, potentially a whole new dynamic in the relationship, like the friendship. And so having tools to check in and make sure everybody is okay is more important in that sense. Yes.
And also there's that idea of expectation. When you've been playing with the same group for a very, very long time, sometimes there's this kind of like, I don't want to budge the status quo. I don't want to bother my friends with the concern I might have.
Yeah.
And so the safety tools are there to, again, it's just a formal usage of a communication.
Yeah.
A conversation. It's just like a short form of like, I need to take a break.
Yeah.
Or I need to talk about this right now. Like,
And so we avoid the, you know, everybody else was having fun, so I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Which you never want to do.
Yeah, because then you're putting your own emotional, mental well-being back, which is never a great thing, because you know, you want to make sure that you're having fun.
Yeah, it should be all equal levels of enjoyment. Nobody's fun takes precedence over the other ones. So it's called Beyond the X Card because the X Card is generally what people consider to be the most common, the most ubiquitous safety tool, and it's the one that they use upstairs. There is the X card and the open door policy, but there's quite a lot more. So Kiana, why don't you kind of walk us through? Kiana wrote this beautiful safety toolkit reference guide that you have, why don't you walk us through the different kinds of tools?
Yeah, so the idea is that a safety tool, like any form of tool, works for certain situations, but not all. And so we have the X card, which you've seen in the gaming lounge, which works very well for one specific kind of need, but not for all. And so the idea is that you want to have a toolkit, and you want to have them all in your pocket, so that when you go into a game, or a new group, or even an existing game that hasn't had safety tools yet, you can be like, here are the different things that we could possibly use, let's find the one that works for us best. So I created a whole quick reference guide because there is no centralized resource to kind of talk about all these tools. So I broke it down into a whole bunch of different things. So we kind of covered the what are safety tools and why we need to use them. But we also have, I've also broken down to different phases of the game. So the before the game, during the game, after game, because there are different safety tools for each thing. And they all perform different purposes and stuff like that. So I guess to do a very quick rundown, a lot of it is just underlying that this is a form of communication, a form of talking with your players, with your GM, with everyone else at the table, and to discuss these types of safety things. And so at the very beginning of the game, before the game even begins, you have to sit down, you have to have a conversation about what you want out of this game. For example, we could both go, I could say, I want to do a high fantasy romance game. And Lauren could go, no, I don't want to do that.
I would never say that. No, but you would theoretically. Never say that.
But that would, then we have that set, that expectation. And then we can discuss, okay, what do you want out of the game? What do I want out of the game? Can we make it all work together? And sometimes you can't make it work together. And then you know you maybe shouldn't play this one singular game together where you have conflicting ideas of what you want out of it.
Especially when you're playing a game like Dungeons and Dragons, which you know, you're all playing D&D, but one D&D game can look totally different from another D&D game. Even if you, like, are looking at even just the published hardcover adventures without going into homebrew, mm-hmm. you know, Ghosts of Saltmarsh and Curse of Strahd are so wildly different that yeah. it's almost impossible, you know, sometimes you don't even think that they're the same game. Because, you know, you talk about the three pillars of, like, does somebody want a game where they just fight a lot of monsters, where they go through and they kill all the things and they are the big heroes? Or does somebody want a game that has a lot more like social mm-hmm. intrigue and where you're talking to every NPC? And if you have a player that wants to talk to every NPC and a player that wants to kill every NPC,
you're going to have problems.
So session zeros are really good to kind of say, all right, on a scale of talk to every NPC to kill every NPC, where do you fit? And are we all on the same page, or can we all come to the yeah. same kind of...
Or can we work together even if we have conflicting goals within that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so there's a few tools that kind of work within this and to talk about setting the boundaries, like we discussed. So lines and veils are a great way to discuss, you know, here are my hard limits and my soft limits on content. So my lines or my hard limits are things I do not want at all to appear in the game. For example, sometimes for me, I do not want homophobia in my game. As a queer person, I'm like, I'd rather not deal with homophobia in the game world when I also have to deal with it in yeah. the real world. Yeah. That's a hard line for me. And if everyone says, okay, homophobia doesn't exist.
Yeah. Nobody is homophobic. There is no homophobia. People do not. It's not a concept.
Yeah, it's not a concept. Versus a veil, which is something that you're like, it can appear in the game, but not in big, in not a great detail. It's not highlighted. It's mm-hmm. like happening in the background. Another example for me is like eye trauma. Like somebody can get hit in the eye. That's fine. Please don't describe the whole gory detail to me. I would not like to hear that. Yeah. So that's a soft limit for me. That's a veil. We can put that behind the curtain. Like, it happened. Now we're just going to shove that off to the side.
Yeah. There are some lines and veils that are kind of standard things you don't want, or things that are going to be standard for everything. Like, I have a list, things that always go behind lines or always go behind veils. But then sometimes for different games, you might want to explore, for example, Good Society, which is a Jane Austen inspired role-playing game. One of the things that they suggest, and they actually have the lines and veils codified in their rules as the collaboration phase. And one of the things they talk about, besides like, what do we want to see, what don't we want to see in the game, is like, okay, maybe you don't want to deal with the agricultural revolution, which was going on at the same time historically as all of this stuff. But maybe we just don't want to deal with that in our story about Mr. Darcy and like Elizabeth Bennet. So that goes behind a line. Or maybe, you know, we can talk about the financial problems that have been caused by the agricultural revolution, but we don't want to kind of get into the nitty gritty. So it goes behind a veil where it affects the game, but we're not going to suddenly start talking about trains and, you know, farming equipment.
Yeah. So that's a use of line veils. And then there are other tools like the script change ratings, which is like we talked about how PG-13 our ratings on videos and on video games and all that stuff is a form of boundary setting and expectation setting, and you can apply that to your games too. You can say, this is probably going to be a PG-13 game. Mm-hmm. And then that way you can also discuss, you know, what level of, you know, gore and violence or, you know, sexual content we want in there. Or, you know, how much we want to lean into certain things is a good way to discuss what you do and don't want to see. Mm-hmm. It's just another way of setting those boundaries and making sure that everyone knows at the table, so that way it's not just, you know, the GM having to deal with this. It's every other player also taking on the responsibility of care. And oftentimes people maybe not be comfortable saying it out loud at the table, but then there are ways to do it, like making anonymous Google documents that people can add in their line of veils, and the whole group references it to it later to be like, okay, so people have just put in everything, and now we all know that these are boundaries, these are the do wants and don't wants, mm-hmm. and we can all kind of easily discuss that and make sure that we're respecting them.
And script change is really nice because it's a really nice shorthand. Yeah. You might not know exactly, because sometimes things come up, you might not be able to anticipate exactly. Like, you might not necessarily think, oh, I don't want sexual content in my game, because you might not think of a game having sexual content. But then,
and then suddenly it's happening, and you're like, no,
yeah. That needs to so if you're like, well, this is a G-rated game, then, you know, all of the smooches are like Mickey Mouse pulling off his hat and like kissing behind the hat, you know, we just kind of like make allusions to it, yeah, but right. It's not, you know, we don't need to hear about it.
Yeah.
So if you don't know exactly what you do and you don't want saying, hey, I want a G-rated game, hey, I want a, you know, PG 13 kind of game can yeah. help you give a basis for to go off on.
Yeah, and then, you know, the thing with lines of bales or the script change rating or any other discussion that you have about it, it's not a one-time thing. It can be a continually developing discussion, because sometimes things will come up later on that you're like, oh, I didn't realize I was uncomfortable with this thing, but now I do, and I would like to add it to the document, please and thank you. Yeah, there's this understanding that this is not like a static set of boundaries, because that's not how people work. Yeah. We're not like, these are our boundaries and they never change whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's not how we work as people. So we have to reflect that within our tools and within our games as well.
Especially when you're playing long-term games.
Yeah.
You know, because some D&D games last for years, right? And people's life can change a whole lot in a few years, and things that you might have been okay with in the past are all of a sudden not okay, or things that you weren't okay with you are maybe more open to.
Yeah, so that kind of covers stuff before the game, and then during the game we're gonna get into the X card, because this is beyond the X card, but I think we should probably explain what the X card is.
Yeah.
So there's a few series of tools, like the X and an O cards, and these are check-in tools during the game. So these are, when things happen in the game, we can say, this is not okay, this is we're getting tricky territory, and this is okay. So the X card, essentially, whenever it's used, and that could be easily just like, I can just tap it on the table. You'd be like, I'm playing the X card, or I can use a hand signal, or say it out loud. This is used at any point if you're uncomfortable with what's happening and you would like it to stop, please. This can happen, and this can be either possibly triggering material, or they can just be like, I didn't like what I said there. Like, if with a lot of tabletop games, you're improvising.
Yeah.
And I may say a thing, like my character like does a thing, and I'm like, wait, that doesn't feel right. I would like to X that, please.
Yeah.
And when we X it out, we say, okay, we're gonna stop. We're gonna check in to make sure how people are feeling, and then we rewind and change it.
That's kind of the biggest misconception about the X card, is that people will think it is for, you know, stuff that is psychologically triggering. Often, you know, people think about trauma and PTSD, and it's certainly there to be used for that. But if you only use the X card for the most extreme situations, it gets scary to use. And sometimes that's not the best. If a person is triggered, that's not the best way to deal with their being triggered. Sometimes someone says something and they're like, oh, that's really mean. My character actually wouldn't say something that mean. I'm going to retract that. Or I played a game once where we met a dog, a stray dog, and I was really excited to like...
Okay.
I don't know what that was. Yeah, we met a stray dog and it was really cute. And then it was all of a sudden discovered that this stray dog's owner had passed away, and it was really sad. And I was like, I don't want the dog to be sad. I'm going to X card the fact that, you know, this owner has passed away and it's just a stray and it's a happy dog. And, you know, that's totally just as valid. But also, we don't need to, the important thing with the X card is that it's no questions asked. You don't need to explain why you're Xing something. It just is. You just say, hey, I don't want this content in the game. And nobody argues about it. Nobody asks you why, unless it's to kind of clarify what exactly it is you don't want.
Yeah. Yeah, because the whole, and this goes with all the safety tools, you don't need to expose yourself even more, right? Like, if you're feeling already vulnerable or hurt, it should not be on you then to unload all that onto other people. That's unfair.
Yeah.
So the idea with most of these safety tools is that you can explain and you can help to clarify, but there is no expectation for you to. Yeah, so that's the X card, and then there's the N card, which is the we're approaching an X or approaching a veil, and I would like to slow down, check in, and then we can either say, okay, we're gonna rewind and change it, or we're just gonna put it off to the side. So the way that an X card kind of works as a line, an N card works usually as a veil.
Yeah,
like this is a new veil that's going off to the side.
Yeah,
it happened. We're not gonna go into detail mm-hmm. about it. And then the O card, which is a fairly new one, is just as interesting because this is the I may look like I'm really upset because of what's happening in the game, but I'm actually okay with what's happening. Like, yeah. please hurt me more.
I mean,
sometimes yes. that's how it is.
Sometimes that is, yeah. So, for example, when you watch, like, a romantic movie or a sad movie, and you start crying because you're so affected by the sad movie, and people say, are you okay? Do we need to turn off the movie? And you're like, no, I love it. It's fine. I'm just really, really just feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And that is, thank you. And that's what the O card is for if you're at the table and something's happening and you're crying your eyes out and people go, do we need to stop? Because sometimes you're crying and you need to stop. But this time you're crying and you don't need to stop. You're just really into your character. Or you're like me and you're crying to roleplay. You're crying on command.
Yeah.
So I use the O card a lot for that specific.
Yeah, it's just a reassurance of, yes, thank you for caring about me. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a check-in tool, and it's basically a combination of all three of those that help to make sure that people are doing okay.
Yeah, and what's nice about having these cards and just tapping them is that with the instead of like the end card, or with the exception of the end card, because that does require a conversation.
Yeah.
The X card and the O card don't necessarily require a conversation. When I use the O card, I will often just kind of hold it up while I'm going, and it doesn't stop the break of the role play or the flow, but people just know, okay, she has her O card up, she's fine, we can continue on with this scene.
Yeah, so kind of a spinoff of that, or an adaptation by Brebo Larson, is more of the script change. We talked about script change ratings, and now there are actual script change tools, which are, again, check-in tools, which, again, kind of factor in, like, the movie thing. So you can rewind. I say, I don't like what happened. Can we rewind, please? We'll talk about what content we wanted to rewind and where we wanted to go back to, and then we resume play and change that content. There's the fast forward, which is the I'd like to skip ahead, and this can be both for the content or for pacing. Like, this is taking forever. I don't want to role play out like 8 hours of sleeping. Yeah. We're gonna fast forward here.
I really don't want to do a shopping montage right now. Can we just like spend our gold and then tell you what we bought without having to like role play finding a person and haggling through all of that? You know, let's just skip to the other part.
Fast forward through it. And then there's the pause, which is a break. I need to call a pause. Can we take... And then that can be anything. That can be, I need to talk about something. I need to take this call. Yeah. I need to go have a bio break. Either way, a pause is usually just that I need to... It's like pressing pause on a video. Just like, done. Okay. We need to have a breather. And that's totally valid. And then you have the resume, which you can just... We continue playing, usually after... discussing or doing whatever else we needed to do at the time. It's not on the quick reference guide on this version, but it is on the new version, which is the Luxton technique. So the Luxon technique is interesting because it's not, there's no physical cards, or there's no actual tools, but it's the idea that if something is hurting a player or making them feel unsafe, they get total control over how the content goes next. And that can be just expressed as a want or a desire. So something like, you know, if we're getting into content that makes me very uncomfortable in terms of, I don't know, we'll say eye trauma, because I brought that up as an example earlier. So if that's like, if we're really getting into an eye trauma thing, and people, we've already discussed it, and they know that this is a boundary of mine, or this is something that is possibly traumatizing for me, or triggering, they give fire control over to me as to how the scene goes in terms of this content. Mm-hmm. So I can say, so I get control, and I say, okay, they managed to bandage it up, and it's all going to be on the mend. And that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And again, there is no need to explain. There is no need for me to say, I don't like this because X, Y, Z. This is, again, this respect and understanding that this is a boundary of mine, and I can then, by giving control over to the person who is affected by it, they can then explore that content safely.
Yeah.
In a way that they feel in control, because that's a whole bunch of the of a trauma thing or a unsafety thing, is feeling you're out of control.
So yeah.
Giving the control back over to them.
Yeah, because and this is where the X card can fail people, is the X card deletes the content. But sometimes when a person is traumatized, deleting the content or pretending that it never happened is actually worse, especially if they're already triggered. So by the Luxton technique is a different approach to saying, okay, this is what this has happened. So what can we do to make sure that this isn't going to cause further harm?
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it's the idea of control and respecting the boundaries that works well. And then like the open door and breaks in general. So those are, you'll see them in the gaming lounge upstairs, but it's the idea of, if I need to leave, I can leave without being judged. And this can be for any reason. Again, it could be a bathroom break. It could be I need to take a phone call. Or it could just be like, I'm not jiving with this group. And this happens a lot in convention games where you're playing with strangers. You're like, oh, I'm realizing that I don't get along with these people for X, Y, Z reasons. Instead of making myself miserable and staying for the rest of the 3 hours, I'm just going to get up and go. And the open door says, yes, it's an open door. We're not locking you in here. You can leave if you need to, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And with breaks, it's a generally good idea to have built-in breaks.
Take breaks.
Take breaks. Because not only for, you know, the general, you know, I need water, I need to do this, but also to process things.
Mm-hmm.
Something has happened in the game. And if you just keep going, sometimes your brain just needs a moment to...
Yeah.
Take in what has happened and go, okay, now yeah, we're good.
You know, like if you're crying all of a sudden and you're like, okay, I've been crying so much and now now it's getting hard for me to breathe. I need to stop. I need to wash my face. I need to, whatever. This is a big thing in the streaming community because...
we're putting on a performance for other people watching.
Yeah, and it can be bad for numbers to take breaks, right?
Yeah.
Because they say, oh, this person's not streaming, they're taking a break, I'm going to leave. And so a lot of times they won't, channels won't have breaks, but then you're not giving your players
or yourself
like a chance to like chill and take, and go to the bathroom or grab some water or whatever. And what's nice about having preset breaks is that way nobody misses out on the action.
Yeah.
Nobody has to hold it in so they find out what happens. They go, okay, we're going to take a break. I'm going to go run and grab some water because my throat is dying and I've been talking for, an hour straight.
Yeah. So that covers the during the game. And then after the game, it's just as important.
Absolutely.
So, essentially, especially with tabletop role-playing games, where there's a lot of, where you're putting on you're playing the part of a character, and you're kind of embodying them. There's a thing called bleed, which is emotions and whatever else from the game can bleed into your normal everyday life outside the game. Mm-hmm. So, like, if my character was feeling sad, it's sometimes hard to separate my character's sadness from my own sadness. And then I'll feel sad after the game.
Yeah.
And that's not great.
This happens a lot with... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
This happens a lot with character death. Because, especially if you've been playing a character a really long time or playing with a character a really long time, and you're really into it, and that character dies... I mean, they were just a shared hallucination you're having with your friends, but it feels real, you know? And so you can mourn that character, and it's actually pretty normal to mourn the character, you know, a character that has died.
Yeah.
And so if you try and just push it aside and say, like, oh, it's just the game, oh, it's not real, that's really bad. And so these safety tools are very important to kind of mitigate.
Yeah.
And prevent.
And especially, like, and for example, conflict in-game can carry out to out-of-game. Mm-hmm. Like, my character had a fight with Lauren's character, for example.
All the time.
We haven't been, just always made characters.
We're never friends.
But if we don't deal with bleed properly, then that feeling of animosity can bleed into actual friendship and actual relationship and negatively impact in that way. So there's a lot of different safety tools and ways to kind of decompress and talk through those feelings that is important to make sure that bleed, which is totally normal and very natural, doesn't affect your out-of-game life. So there's stuff, you know, with an aftercare, making sure that you're taking care of yourself afterwards, like making sure you're getting enough sleep, you're mm-hmm. eating and drinking enough, you're doing things that de-stress you, that make you feel happy. If that's like looking up pictures of puppies, that always works for me. To feel like, okay, like I'm kind of processing through these emotions and getting that safety, but also making sure that you're kind of doing it as a group as well, mm-hmm. and making sure that you're addressing those feelings and validating those feelings amongst each other, and making sure that, you know, yeah, that you're okay for having those feelings, because sometimes you feel dumb.
Yeah.
Having these feelings.
Especially if you have to go back into your regular world where, like, the other people don't play tabletop role-playing games and they're like, what is that D&D thing? Is that the thing I saw on, like, The Big Bang Theory, and they don't understand, and you're like, my friend died.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know.
Yeah.
Why? I'm sorry, you know. So having the other people who understand exactly why you're so upset and being there together for each other outside of the game.
Yeah, because the idea is, the hope is that you are friends with the other people at the table in some extent. Even if you're not like very close friends, at least people who care about each other in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And so being able to express that via aftercare and discussions helps a lot. And then beyond that, there's kind of the debriefing, the idea of talking about what has happened in the game and saying, okay, how do we continue to make this a good experience for everybody? And so there's a couple of tools. There's the start wishes and highlight reel and wrap session, which are pretty similar. So stars and wishes highlight what we really liked. So that's the stars. And that can be a role-playing moment. That can be... A cool, I got to punch the bad guy in the face. Yay me. Or, I really like that conversation between these two other characters. That's a star. That's, like, mm-hmm. this is the great thing that happened. And then a wish is...
And I want to see more of
that.
Yeah.
And then a wish is, I would like to see more of this in the future. And that can be, like, I'd like to have the group together as a group more, because mm-hmm. we keep playing the party. You know... I'd like to try to establish a relationship with this NPC. And it could be any level of within game, out of mm-hmm. game, that it just expressed as like, I'd like to see more of this.
Yeah, and, or like, I want to go to, you know, Yartar next, because that's important for my backstory. You know, that's a wish. It doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen, but it does kind of put it out on the table as, this is something that I want. And then that's something that we can all work together as a group.
Yeah. And then highlight reel map sessions is very similar in that way. You know, you have your highlight reel, which is like the great cool things that happened in this session. and then the wrap session, which is the now let's sit down and is there anything we need to discuss in terms of perhaps there was an X card played and mm-hmm. we need to, or an N card played and we need to discuss yeah. that even further than what we did earlier before.
Yeah.
What
worked, what didn't yeah. work.
Well, like, hey, I didn't feel so great during this time because, you know, again, sometimes people don't feel comfortable using an X card during mm-hmm. the game or a script change tool in the game during the actual moment. But in the wrap session, you can all address any of those issues and try to put it into forward-facing, action-facing feedback.
Yeah. And that's the important thing about, especially the X card, is that the X card can be used retroactively.
Yeah.
Because sometimes things will happen and you're so in the moment and you don't realize that they're upsetting to you. But as you're going through the debriefing process, you're like, okay, wait, no, that didn't feel good. We should not do this next time. You know, now this is a line that I have. So can we retcon this moment? Because yeah. I'm not really interested in, you know, having my character explore that.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's just the idea of we're creating boundaries. These boundaries are always changing. And we're respecting them because we care about the other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then with the rest of the guys, again, there's a new version of it that
yes.
I finished making last night. That is published out now.
Yeah, at this link, bit.ly TTRPG Safety Toolkit.
Yeah, and then there's a whole bunch of safety other sources and acknowledgements yeah. and all that stuff
yeah.
to continue exploring because these are all very basic. And what we just talked about, a very basic summary mm-hmm. of very detailed work that
yeah.
these amazing people have put into it. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, because the thing is that, like, there is no one tool that is, you know, just like there's no sonic screwdriver in real life. There's no one tool. And even the sonic screwdriver doesn't work on wood, you know? Like, there's no one tool that can be used for everything in every situation. So people have come up with a whole bunch of other tools, and we really just scratched the surface. But some of these links... like for the support tools compilation by RPG Natalie, and a lot of these like sources and stuff on the page will kind of open your world up to a whole bunch of other tools, and you can find ones that fit your table the best. Because and this is kind of the last thing about. Safety tools are all great in theory, but you have to make sure that you're putting them in practice and that you're putting them in practice effectively. And to do that, you need to have a conversation about what tools you need to use or what tools work for you. Some people don't like using the X card. And so they say, I don't want to use the X card. Can we use this other tool? Can we use the Lexden technique, or can yeah. we use script change, or, you know, something else? But you won't be able to use the tools at all if your players don't trust each other. And so before you can even kind of consider using the tools, you have to make sure that you're fostering this culture of collaboration and trust at the table, because it's great if you have the X card there, you know, on the table, and everybody can reach it and touch it. But if you're playing with a bunch of strangers, or, you know, you are the only woman or the only person of color at a table, that can make you feel really uncomfortable. And you can be too uncomfortable to use the tool, then the tool is not working. And so to do this, I mean, it's a lot of times about being a good friend, being a good person, especially if you're talking about a long-term group. It's caring about the person for reasons other than, you know, oh, you play Jimmy the Barbarian and he's our only tank and it's really, really important that you keep playing or else there's going to be a TPK next session. But also in convention play, when you're playing just kind of one-offs, it's a little bit harder because you might not be friends with person, and you can't trust somebody, you know, within a 2-hour session, but you can do things to kind of make the situation more welcoming and inclusive right at the beginning. Things like sharing your name, going around and saying, this is, you know, my name is Lauren, my pronouns are she, her. You know, I'm playing this character, what are you playing? Or things like asking, is there something you need from me? One time I was GMing, and about halfway through a session, a player said to me, I'm actually deaf in this ear, can I change
seats?
And of course it was fine. I want them to be able to hear it, but because they didn't know me that well, they didn't want to rock the boat of changing seats. So what I could have done is say, does anybody need anything from me specifically to make sure that, you know, we can hear it? Do you need to sit in a particular place? Like, you know, do you need any kind of, like accessibility aids? And just signaling that even if people don't need it, that you are caring about them outside of just running the game.
Yeah, and that you care about them enough to even offer it. And that's the same with safety tools as well, mm-hmm. is even if you don't need it, I care enough about you that they are an option.
Yeah.
And that I want to make sure you know that they're an option available to you so that we can have that discussion.
Yeah. And the other thing that you can do to make safety tools make people feel like it's okay to use safety tools is to use them yourself. John Stavropoulos, who wrote the X-Card, suggests, says when he's played, he X-Cards himself really early in the game. You know, like if he's describing a really gory scene, he's like, no, I'm going to X that and make it a little bit less gory, because the less special the card feels, the more it will be used.
And that goes for all the tools that we've discussed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's only useful in play. And if you're the GM, you using them expresses that, yeah, they're totally fine to use.
Yeah.
And I hope that you use them, right?
Yeah. For example, like a lines and veils document, if online we use often a Google Doc because you can edit a Google Doc anonymously and nobody has to worry about, like, recognizing each other's handwriting or something. Giving somebody a blank Google Doc is really intimidating, but if you've already listed your lines and veils there, then people will say, okay, I can kind of get it. Because there's some things that are givens for most people. You know, sexual content is either behind a line or behind a veil. You know, things like homophobia. Mm-hmm. You know, violence against animals and children is one that I see a lot. And, you know, it might kind of be common sense to you, but just putting it down will get people to think, oh yeah, I didn't think that that might be something that I'm not okay with, but I'm actually not okay with. What else might I not be okay with?
It just formalizes that communication.
Yeah. And the last thing that you can do is, well, not the last thing, but the last thing I'm going to list right now, is paying attention to your players. Not everybody is the same style of player, and not everybody is an actor or you know, a super great role player. Some people are playing for, you know, the crunch, or are playing because they like the maps and minis, and some people are playing because they like to tell the stories and they end up at the table together. And you have to kind of pay attention to the people around you. Say, oh, this, you know, this person looks really uncomfortable. Maybe the next break I should check in and see if they're okay. Or, you know, oh, John has been talking a whole lot and Lucy hasn't said anything this whole time. Maybe I can bring Lucy into this next scene to make sure that Lucy is still having a good time and that John isn't kind of monopolizing the whole situation.
Yeah. It's a extension of care, of the responsibility of care, not just to one player, but to mm-hmm. everybody.
Because the GM is a player too, yeah. Right? Like, it's, and some systems spread that responsibility more than others. But especially in a game like Dungeons and Dragons, there's like sometimes a literal wall between you and the players. But the responsibility of safety really shouldn't just fall on the GM. It should fall on everybody else. And for me, when I play, if I'm ever like even a little bit in doubt, I'll stop, I'll pause, I'll check in to make sure that everybody's okay, either privately or I'll just stop the whole game, because I would much rather stop the flow of play and make sure everybody's comfortable and having a good time than, you know, have this really great scene and then find out someone was feeling miserable later.
Yeah. So yeah, it's the I care about you, I care about our game, and we're going to make that work together.
Yeah, I care about you, I care about our game, but I care about you more.
Yeah.
You're the most important part of this situation. Not your imaginary shared hallucination paper character sheet. Yeah. I think that's all we kind of had planned to say.
Yeah.
We have some X, N, and O cards there at the front.
And also some at the back.
And some at the back as well. If you would, oh, there was somebody was eating cake here. That's a lot of chocolate. if you want to grab for your table and your friends, they have the link to the safety toolkit. So what you'll find if you click on that link is a Google Drive folder with the PDF of the copy that you have, these cards that, so you can print them off on your own, and also a list of the resources, some of the resources that we talked about here, but also other resources that we couldn't bring up because there are so many.
There are so many, and we the whole idea of this panel was really just to open up the conversation and to get a very introductory look into them, because sometimes people just didn't know about them.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that the more people know about them and have them available at the table, I think the better the space can be. And the more safe and people can feel, the better games and stories and experiences everyone can have.
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions about safety tools or, you know, specific situations of like, this went terrible, what could have we done?
Yeah. I get a lot of that. I get a lot of like, help, what did I do wrong? And again, learning how to use safety tools in the process, as is with like anything, learning how to use a hammer is always going to be a process. You're never going to hit the nail perfectly the first time, but it's over through practice and through a shared understanding of how it works and the better practices of it that you can get better at it.
Yeah. I think we are actually at time. You've got 3 minutes. All right. Does anybody have a question or anything? Yeah.
Once in a game.
Yeah.
We're running a game in Ravnica.
Yes.
Our DM basically made large unruly changes to, not continuity, but basically changes forced upon the characters of which we were playing.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I was wondering how would that fall in terms of, would that be a wrong move if...
It's the social expectation, right? And it's the entire group saying it's okay.
Yeah.
It's never, with any of these things, it's never a one person does this and nobody else is buying into it. Like, the only reason these work is because everyone's buying into it.
Yeah.
So if there was a reason, like, if the DM had come and asked you about it and been like, hey, is this okay? That'd be a different story. But if it was done without permission or discussion, then, you know, it's not...
Yeah, you're within your rights to kind of say, like, I'm not so comfortable about this. Especially because D&D has this stereotype of, like, the DM is the god of the universe and they can exact their will onto everybody. But, like, no...
They're just another player.
They're just playing, you know, not even with different rules, with the same rules. They're just playing more characters.
If this is something that bothers you, it's something to bring up to discuss.
Yeah.
And to say, like, hey, like, I would have appreciated a mm-hmm. conversation, a heads up, like, I was thinking about this thing. Yeah. And then hopefully if your DM is comfortable and open to discussion, looking at how to, you know, if they want to do something very dominating over the characters, say, hey, can we all check in and make sure we're okay with this?
Yeah.
And this is not just a you thing, it's all your fellow players as well, right? To have that conversation and to just like address that as a possible issue and something that you can say, I don't want to do in the future, or my wish is to yeah. have a discussion about this next yeah. time.
Or, you know, if it's messed up everything, or if you're really unhappy with it, then say, hey, can we maybe not retcon the whole thing, but maybe change something about how it happened so that we can all feel comfortable about what's going on. Because even though it's the DM's story, like, you're the player and your decisions matter, because like we said earlier, they can just write a novel and have a really good time, but the reason they're playing D&D is because they care about what you do, or they should, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, obviously, it's all different for each group, but mm-hmm. communication is incredibly key to that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
On what you just said, how do you guys deal with a DM that doesn't handle criticism well? What is your advice on sort of the next best steps? Like, if you've gone to them and say, hey, this decision you've made, like, right now it's great and it's awesome, but in, like, 3 months, when we're all higher level, this is actually going to affect us all mathematically. Mm-hmm. Why did you do this now? And, you know, maybe you could fix this so that everything balances back out, especially with 5th Ed being all about party balance mm-hmm. and tiering now. I come into the DMs who reward, like, extra XP for kill shots, and I'm like, well, that's really cool. You're also kind of balancing the game, because if like I said, you have two of your party are level 4, the other half of your party is level 5, now you're working with different mathematics on there.
Yeah, so I mean, again, if hope the ideal is that your DM is creating a space where you can feel safe to voice mm-hmm. that criticism.
Yeah, and that they like care about the fact that you're having fun and that you're having a good time. And, you know, maybe that feels really good for the person who made the kill shot, but maybe there's another way that you can reward that. There, you know, because XP is only one way of rewarding somebody in D&D. But if a DM, honestly, if a DM is not dealing with criticism very well and is making you feel like you're not being heard, or making me feel like I'm not being heard, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to project. But what I would do is that, like, I have played games with DMs that, you know, I finish off the campaign if I feel comfortable doing that. But then after that, I'm done, because, you know, we live in the world of the internet. There are so many people that you can play Dungeons and Dragons with, and there are so many people who want to play Dungeons and Dragons, that you can definitely find the table and the DM that's going to care about what you have to say.
Yeah, and then it's all about trying to figure out the way that you feel safe enough approaching the topic if you still want to try to continue with this DM or whatever. And
yeah.
I'm not feeling comfortable going one-on-one conversation, but maybe like get a friend who's also at the table who also has these concerns to come with me and have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, doing it in a space that is more public so you're not feeling that private one-on-one situation. It's finding what you creating the environment that you feel safe in, mm-hmm. If the DM itself themselves are not creating that space for you.
And that's where Stars and Wishes can be really good, or rap scenes where you can say, like, you know, I'm the only one who haven't got a kill shot, and so I'm 3rd level and everybody else is 5th level, and now I feel really useless. My wish is that we can equalize this, you know, or deal with this. And then it's in a group setting, so it's people are less likely to feel attacked, and you're less likely to feel kind of, like you're making yourself vulnerable to just one person, especially if there has been a history of somebody not taking criticism well.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, no D&D is better than bad D&D that makes you feel bad.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you should always take care of yourself as a person first. Okay, you are a real person. Your character, as much as you love them, or that they may be a part of you, they're not real.
Yeah. Like, they're not real. And you can port them to other campaigns. I know that's really, really hard. And you know, I've definitely had problems with it before because they feel so attached to that. But you can just do a hard reset. If you really like that character and you like all of that stuff that's happening, but you don't like what the DM did with their story, you can just say, okay, this character now is in this campaign and maybe has a little bit of a different backstory, but, you know, we're going to try again.
Yeah, but definitely there's no shame in keeping your safety and your well-being in priority.
Yeah.
And making sure that you're having fun, because that's the whole point of this. Of having a game.
It's supposed to be a good time.
Thank you to Kiana for working on the panel and toolkit with me, Forest City Comic Con for hosting us, Ethan for editing the audio of this panel, Jeff for the music, and you. Thanks for listening.
If you want to download the safety toolkit, you can find it at bit.ly/ttrpgsafetytoolkit. You can find more of Kiana's work at Kiana S, KIENNAS, and Lauren's at JL_nicegirl. If you'd like to be a regular on our show where we talk to people about their favorite RPGs, or have a creator in mind that we should contact for future episodes, you can tweet us at TooManyRPGs.
Or you can contact Ethan at SuperRobotBear. If you like this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcatcher and recommend us to your friends. It really helps us to spread the show to new people.
TooManyRPGs, actually experts on things? Who would have guessed? I mean, we started this like a year ago. Would you have guessed that we were...
I guess we've learned some things. Thank you.